You are now listening to The Social Hour.
They're not PC, so if occasional foul language turns you off, then you have all been warned. This is the calm before the storm.
I don't know how long a fortnight is, but I know I'm not going to remember the next one.
Get ready for the social hour.
Live from Dice World Studios in San Antonio, Texas, this is The Social Hour. On today's show, comic book creator Corinne Howell. And now your host. He thinks if we're really serious about stopping drug trafficking, we should start with the people moving the most drugs into America, which means drone bombing Langley, Virginia. Deese Casillas.
Malib Keen, everyone, welcome to the show. This is The Social Hour. I am Deese. What is up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the show. Closing out 2025, coming up real quick for you. So we've finally got this show back on track to near weekly this year. So you're welcome. I know I've, for those of you who wanted more of you, more of this, great for... those of you who didn't, and my mom, sorry. That's what are you going to do? well, we appreciate you guys hanging in there, watching the show, spreading the word. If you like what you hear, like what you see, tell a friend, rate us and review us on your favorite podcast listening device or wherever you do that these days. Couple quick announcements before we get into it with our guest. If you're listening to it the week it comes out, I will be at Riot Comedy Club this Thursday and Friday, downtown San Antonio. I will be at Chubby's Ice House in Pipe Creek, Texas on Saturday the 13th. A bunch of boring corporate events, holiday corporate, they're the worst. I tell every year, I say, don't book me for these. I don't want to do these anymore. And unfortunately, I pay too much, and then you just have an hour of like bankers hating you and everything you say. It's terrible. But I got some of those. And then closing the year out at Ranger Creek Distillery in San Antonio also on December 27th. So come check out those shows, guys. All local stuff. I'm just kind of, cruising locally for the end of the year, trying to hang around for the holidays a bit. And then we've got the 2026 calendar coming up fast. I will be in San Diego in February at Mic Drop Comedy Club. So I'll be at their club in Arizona in April. So the calendar's filling up fast. I'll be in the Northwest again in May, it looks like. So I'm going to be all over again in 2026, guys. So check the calendar. If you want to see me, let me know where you're at and send me a check and I'll show up. Otherwise, buy a ticket. And also, lastly, Kill Stand number 3 is going to be available in your hot little hands on Wednesday the 17th, guys. So we will have that for you. If you pre-order, we'll be shipping them out very quickly. You should see those anytime. If you had digital copies, those should be already be in your email. If you have not received them, shoot me a DM and we'll get that corrected for you. But otherwise, physical copies will be out next Wednesday, guys. Looking forward to that. So that's it, guys, for the announcements. You know where to go, deesecomedy.com or inferno.earth for all the stuff. We are going to get into it with our guest today. I'm happy to have her here. She's a writer. She's an artist. She comes to us from Austin, Texas today. Please make some noise for the creator of the hit series Lilith, Corinne Howell. Hey. How are you, Corinne?
Doing pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. This is always my favorite part where I have to pretend like I wasn't just talking to the person before the show. I have to be like, look who it is. Oh my God. I had no idea you
Hi,
were.
Great what? To see you.
Yeah, this is such a surprise. It's like the Masked Singer. great. So yeah, well, thanks for being here. I appreciate you taking the time to do this. I got to meet you briefly at CASA convention here in San Antonio a few weeks ago, and you were gracious enough to accept my invite to come on the show. So I appreciate you coming on.
Of course. Thank you. It's always a lot of fun when I get to do these. I don't get to do them very much because of like my crazy ass schedule right now, but this is always fun for me.
Yeah,
I nice little reprieve for my work schedule.
Right? Yeah, you can put down the pen and actually just be a person.
They just work out.
The work schedule is. I do want to talk about all the stuff you're doing because it is a lot and it's exciting. But I always want to like know more about my guest. Are you from Austin originally, or?
No. So I grew up in Gainesville, Florida.
Oh, God! Why would you leave? who can reject the magnetism of Gainesville, Florida?
It is. My mom and my dad are gonna fucking. Sorry, excuse my language. They're gonna just hate it that I'm gonna say it, but it's like there is literally nothing. That's mean. Okay, no, that's mean to say. There is a lot there in Gainesville, Florida. It's sure. just not for me.
Sure. There's like, here's a couple things. There's a bus station that goes to better places. That's in Gainesville, Florida. It's
where the memorial is for the Gainesville Ripper.
Oh, well, yeah, that's, we got to remember that guy.
Where he was actually active the year I was born.
Wow.
And I have like... Yeah, my dad will tell a story about like, oh yeah, I had to get a shotgun that year and keep your mother indoors and you safe and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, that's
awesome. They caught him literally like a month later, but awesome. But yeah, though, it's like, I grew up in Gainesville, Florida, where it was just nothing but football.
Yeah.
And churches on every other street. And everyone was obsessed with the Florida Gators. And I was just like, I can't.
Not for you.
I can't. Strokes. There's like one comic shop there when I was growing up, and they would look at you. If you were a girl walking in, it was like seeing like a unicorn pop off.
Right.
And it was just like, cue me, 12 years old, giant Transformers nerd that I still am right now. And walking in. Heyday of Transformers Armada, and I'm like going to the guy up front going, do you have any Transformers Armada comics? And the guy goes, do you even know who Optimus Prime is? And I was like 12 years old, and I was like I'm just like looking back at my mom staring out like standing outside the shop, and I'm like, yeah, I know who he is. He's like, all right, fine, I'll show you. And it was why was that such a hard thing for you to do for a 12-year-old girl?
You'd think it's so funny that there's like this weird gatekeeping in comic books. I would say like fanboys are, you know, it's like the most fun niche little thing to be into with the worst fan base ever. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's like... I don't know how many comic book pages I'm on Facebook, but it's too many. And the people are just miserable all the time. You know, I'm like, how do you possibly make misery out of this? Like, how can you possibly make this unenjoyable for people?
Yeah, just like keep this little girl out of the comic shop of the thing that she really wants to go check out because she really loves Transformers.
Yeah.
Like, screw you, dude.
That's so, yeah.
Fuck you. I can come to your shop right now and have a signing.
Now they'd probably be like, please come. Look, home of Corinne Howell, like, Gainesville, Florida.
It's like, again, I don't mean to talk shit about my hometown. It's just like more like it's not for me anymore. I will be happy to come down there. Like, because my sister, she still lives down in Florida, my younger sister. And she's told me that she's walked into the comic book shop. Picked up a copy of Lilith, and they're like, oh yeah, that book's really cool. And my sister Megan, she goes, that's my sister. And the guy just goes, holy shit, like, you think she'd be up for coming down for a signing? And I was like, this is the, like, finally, I'm here.
Vindication.
Screw you, dude, that asked me what Optimus Prime was. I've been waiting for years.
Yes, sweet vindication. It's like also,
yes, finally. It was just like, finally.
What's
it hurt me as a kid, and now I'm like,
I'll get you back, Florida man. Florida comic book man.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. God, and that's what I can't escape is the Florida man jokes. Every time I tell somebody I'm from Florida, I'm like, all right, here we go. Come on. Get it over with.
Well, This is actually a story I tell in my stand-up, but I the first time I went to Florida to do comedy, I went to like Fort Lauderdale and Naples, the comedy club in Naples, and went through the kind of the west coast of it and stuff. And I don't know where we were, but I did a show. And
you went to the nice side of Florida.
This guy grabbed me after a show and he's like, "Hey, you were really funny." He goes, "What are you doing tomorrow? You want to go on a fan boat ride in the Everglades and go gator hunting?" And I was like, "Fucking sure." You know, I'm like, "That sounds great." I've never done this before. Little did I know. We were out there the next day. And we're going through the swamp. I'm on one of these families, like 90 miles an hour. There's like no land anywhere to be seen. There's like literally alligators like biting the boat and stuff. And we're out there and he just stops, comes to stops, and we're just looking around. And he just looks at me, goes, "Hey," he goes, "y'all don't like the blacks, right?" And I was just like, "What? What was that?" Like, what? And he goes, I'm on this guy's boat and I'm Mexican. So I'm like, how do I answer this to not end up with these alligators? So my comedy brain just kicks in real quickly and I go, "Well, I'm pretty sure OJ did it, but beyond that, man, he just looks at me for a second and goes, "Ah, you're funny, man. Let's go." And we keep going. I'm like, "Jesus Christ!"
No.
I'm like, "This is crazy."
I just don't want to become like one with the swamp rats at that point. You're just like, God.
It was one of my experiences in Florida. It was just like, okay.
I'm sorry.
not your fault. Yeah, but I was like, whoa. It was just such an interesting switch of like, oh, we're talking about this now. Okay.
It's like when I moved out of Florida and like I went from Florida to Georgia when I went to Savannah College of Art and Design, and that's where I met my boyfriend. People were asking me like what was it like to like live in Florida, like, you know, because there was like those few kids at this art school that were just too rich and too sheltered,
yeah,
that they just don't know what anything's like outside, and like us meager peasants, I guess. And I was like, well, it's got a lot of, you know, invasive species and a lot of alligators and moccasins that I've like escaped from a few times in my life. And they're like, "Oh my God, like, was it scary?" I'm like, "No, I was a child and I don't remember shit." But it's like, I have the vague memory of being 3 years old, toddling around in the backyard, and a huge ass moccasin apparently came up towards me and my dad just chopped its head off with a shovel.
Holy shit,
like,
yeah.
That's the big story that I know as a kid. The way to describe it is Florida is the Australia of the South.
Yeah. Yeah, very much so.
It's literally that.
Yeah. I describe it as like America's Germany, you know? Like they're always doing something weird. Like there's always something weird in there that they've got going on. Like here's the thing, Germany has a lot of like great things, but also if you hear weird news, you're like, it's like, for some reason, it's always out of Dusseldorf, you know? You're like, what is going on in that part of Germany? They're doing some weird stuff over there. So
there's a reason why we get the Florida man stories.
Yeah.
And it's not just because, you know, people down there obviously are crazy. There are a lot of people down there that are probably should not be doing drugs. But it's also because Florida has something called the Sunshine Law.
Okay.
And the Sunshine Law is basically journalists have the cops and any, you know, federal bureau cannot hide anything. They have to tell the journalists.
Okay.
So every single thing that is crazy or insane that comes out of Florida because law enforcement cannot hide it from the media.
Yeah.
It is, according to law, they have to tell it. And That's why we get the famous Florida Man stories.
That's because it's not,
everything comes out.
It's not,
they don't hide anything.
So they're not like, it's not necessarily more crazy stuff is happening. They're just open with it, you know?
Yeah, they're just like, it's very open. And it's like, yeah, I have to like, it's probably just as crazy as like maybe Ohio right now or something. Like,
yeah.
Who knows what's going on in Ohio or in the backwoods of Arkansas or something.
Right.
Or,
West Virginia.
Appalachia.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, yeah. They're just like, it's like one giant AA meeting where they're just airing everything out. They're like, listen, this happened and this happened. Then I did this.
This happened, yeah. It's like the dude got drunk and made pancakes in the middle of the street. I remember that one that was famous. Guy throws a gator into a McDonald's at a drive-thru, which was... I'm like, that's okay. That's very Florida.
Seems like Florida, so. Yeah. I've always said that, like, Florida... in Alaska are places that people go to like escape. It's like how you flee the country without a passport is you just go to Florida or Alaska. Like I always said, I wanted to, you can walk into almost any bar in like Alaska or Florida and have like an ATF windbreaker on, you know, and just be like, like, hey, I'm looking for, and watch everyone just shoulder roll out the window and like disappear.
And they're always
ATV.
In Miami. If it's Florida, it's always Miami. They're always in Miami. Go to Miami. That's where everyone fucking goes.
Yeah, that's the place. That's the place. Well, you know, if you want to look cool in a white satin shirt, which I do, you know, I'm going to go to Miami. What are you going to do? So.
It's,
So you survived the, you know, growing up in Florida into Georgia, and then you just kept moving west. So I assume in a couple years you'll be in Phoenix, and then sometime in the next decade you'll be in the Pacific Ocean. If you just at this trajectory.
God, no. So so I met my boyfriend at Savannah College of Art and Design. He was in the grad program at the CEQA department. We actually have our own comics like major. It's called the sequential program.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, you're a sequential major. You draw comics. I remember the president of SCAD wanted to call it funny books, and everyone was like, no. I graduated 2013, and I always knew I've seen like my boyfriend. I saw him around the department for like a while, but like we never hung out or didn't talk much. And it wasn't until like a few years later that I finally met him like officially. And he's actually originally from Dallas. And so we like lived in Savannah up until 2020. And then because we kept hearing gunshots every freaking night, which is not an exaggeration, we've heard machine gun fire. Yeah. We've heard gunshots around the corner. It is insane.
Yes, I grew up in South Central LA, so I get it.
So it got to the point where like we need to leave. My boyfriend Rusty goes, what, you want to try Texas? I'm like, well, I've never been to never been outside of anything from your mom's place. And he's like, cool, how about Austin? Because as much as I love my parents, I don't want to live near them.
Yeah, a little distance is good, you know?
Yeah, so it's like we chose Austin. I had a wonderful time hanging out around here. So, like, yeah, we chose Austin. And, of course, the time we moved was, no shit, legit when the shutdown happened for COVID.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Like, that week is the week we moved from Savannah to Georgia, Austin. And it's just like me driving into Austin going, huh, the traffic's not bad here. And my boyfriend's like, yeah, that's because it's COVID, honey.
Yeah, give it some time. Give it some time.
Give it some time. And I'm like, oh, God, it sucks. Oh, no.
Yeah,
I love it here in Austin. It's great. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, Austin's a great city. I mean, people always ask me, because I moved to San Antonio a couple years ago, and people ask me, like, why didn't you move to Austin? You know, like, it's more comedy there. And I'm like, you know, I love San Antonio. I like Austin. I like going up there, but also I just needed something a little less busy for me. I want a little more room. But I mean, there's so much to do, so much, I mean, creatively up there, too. There's a lot of energy, so it's nice to have that. Happening. I do hate driving through there because I go to Dallas a lot, and every time I hit Austin, it's like, ugh.
I think it's like Russ goes, Like, he hates driving. He doesn't like driving through Austin, but Dallas gets much worse.
Oh, yeah.
And thank God, yeah, thank God his parents live outside, like, 45 minutes outside of Dallas now. But it's just like,
yeah.
Driving through Dallas is like you're hitting a wall of just nonstop traffic and concrete.
Yeah.
And it's just insane.
It's Dallas also has three of the top five deadliest highways in America.
Yay.
Yeah. The other one's in Houston. Yay. And the other one's in Florida. Hey. Yeah, the one's in Florida. So that's I do love this area of Texas too. And people are always like, Texas, what do you like? I'm like, I don't know. I don't want to live in like Lubbock, but I like this area of Texas. I don't want to go to El Paso. I don't want to move to, I don't want to be in Midland. Believe me,
no.
But,
oh, no.
But yeah, these areas are great. In my opinion, people are good. Everything about it is really, really cool. So let's rewind a little to you as a young lass loving Transformers. Was Transformers like your introduction to comic books, or was there other stuff in comic books you were into also?
So growing up in the 90s, oh my God, yeah, I'm old. First it was Pokemon. I remember Pokemon coming out like in 97, 98 around in the States, but it was like, I got into Pokemon and I saw that there was like the promotional, like a magazine that they sold with the cards or something like that.
Okay.
If I remember correctly, a long time ago. And it had the manga of when Ash meets Pikachu. And I really liked looking at this manga. I thought it was really cool. But also the same time that Pokemon was coming out, Transformers Beast Wars was coming out.
Okay.
It was out. I think it was on its like second or third season. And that was really awesome. But it was like, I was 8 years old and it was just like, there's, you're a kid. There's so many things. Like, it's like my latest obsession was Pokemon. But I didn't really get like super into Transformers until Transformers Armada came out. And I was about like 11 or 12 and I saw like, oh, there's comics of this. And hence the story of me wanting to like go to the comic book shop that my mom drove me to, a wee 12-year-old Corinne. And and just like having that experience at the comic book shop kind of weirded me out a bit, but like I still got the comics. I think I still have them. Like I got those and some Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle comics when I was a kid. And I remember seeing the art and loving it, but also not liking how thin it was. Like why I was so confused as like why was this comic book so thin, so thin. And then one day my parents took me to the mall. I remember this, it's the Oaks Mall in Gainesville, Florida. When there was Walden Books still around.
All right.
And Walden Books had a huge collection of manga. And I went in there thinking that they might have Transformers stuff. And I walked out with the big, thick volume of Trigun.
Okay.
And that was actually my main introduction into comics, so to speak. I didn't read a lot of American comics when I was a kid. I read a lot of manga.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of like the timeline when things were shifting a little bit with like Pokemon and stuff. Because I'm a little older than you, so I grew up on like original Transformers and Ninja Turtles, like 80s style. We didn't have like manga. I mean, we had like, I don't know, like Voltron, I guess, was like a Japanese show, but they didn't, manga didn't really exist so much. But there's that huge shift kind of around the time you're talking about when things started drifting towards that. And it's become so prominent in the industry now.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, I think it reflects in probably your own style and storytelling a little bit, too, which is interesting. I like that, you can take those inspired things with a little more traditional and kind of blend them pretty well.
Oh yeah, it's like taking a lot of hints from Night Owl, who is the creator of Trigun, and just like how he blends the fact that the story of Trigun is a very tragic and sad story, but he balances it out with a lot of humor, and the main character having, like, he's kind of a goofball, but he's a lovable goofball, and he's trying his best to, like, save everybody and be as good as he can to save humanity. And he balances it out, all these hard, hard stories and all these events and this very, very dark story with a lot of humor. And that's what I kind of like wanted to strive to be. It's like, there's a lot of darkness here, but let's balance it out. The enough humor that it's not like overbearing that dark, like that, the plot, but it's like, it's just at the proper like point.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to have that balance of bringing, you know, all elements in to make it truly entertaining. Otherwise it's just falls too far in one direction. Kind of, you know, there's no nuance to it.
Oh yeah.
So you got into the manga, not really American comics, and then it was enough to convince you to go to school to the funny book school of Savannah.
every scatty doesn't like that it was almost called that.
That's hilarious. That like the someone that would be so out of touch and be like, it'll be the funny books. Like, what are you from the 20s? Like,
shut up. Yeah, just like, shut up. You know what you're talking about. You're in it for the money. You don't care.
it influenced you enough to be like, I got to go to school for this. And was your goal like to draw manga, to draw comic books, what was the idea as you moved into this?
Oh, what was crazy is like when I was in high school, I found that I went to Books A Million with my aunt one day, and I found a manga that was made by an American, and it blew my mind.
Yeah.
And it was called Replay, and I think I still actually have copies of it. And I saw that, I'm like, oh, this is a cool manga. And then I saw in the back, like, oh, it's made by the American artist who wants to be a mangaka. And it was by it was produced by Tokyopop. And it talked about how the artist went to Savannah College of Art and Design. And I was like, holy shit, this is awesome. So it's like, that school became like where I was like, okay, I can go here and really learn how to draw, like, to try and be a mangaka. And my cat is insane. And it's like going from that and having like my giant collection of manga, going to SCAD and learning, and I learned a lot. All the professors there, we had a lot of amazing talent at that school, and we had Tom Lyle, rest in peace.
Oh
god,
man.
He was such a great, he was a good professor. I never actually had him as a professor, but he wanted to, like, he always wanted me as a student, which I always thought was really awesome, considering, like, his courses were notoriously hard. And the fact that he's like, oh, you know, I always wanted you as a student. I was like, no, don't make me cry. I miss Tom Lyle. It was a great school. I learned a lot, and it really, it kind of, like, opened up a lot of things because of like being that kid that solely read nothing but manga, and I was like, oh, look at all this, okay, so all these American comics. Yes. Now that's where I actually started reading more American comics.
Yeah, you're like,
and I got to like a lot of goofy stuff.
It's like 2007, you're like, guys, have you heard of this Spider-Man? This is this is crazy.
It's just like, I get it, I'm like reading I'm reading Teen Titans, or like Batman Long Halloween?
Yeah.
Or something. And I'm like reading all this, and I'm like, oh my god, this is awesome. And I completely don't know like a lot of this stuff. So it's always so funny with like, I'm hanging out with a lot of my friends. Like I'll hang out with Sean, and I'll hang out with like Sean Murphy like a couple of my friends in the industry, and they're talking about so-and-so artists, and I'm the one that always goes, who's that? I don't know who that is.
Yeah.
And I know manga. I don't know American comics. So
right.
I'm like, It's still a whole new world, essentially, to me.
Yeah, well, you know, that's, you still have, that's great. You still have, like, whimsy in your life. You still have something to get to, you know?
It's like, and in my household, it was, growing up, my dad was a huge Batman fan.
Okay.
So he grew up with the Adam West Batman show. Loved the Tim Burton Batman when it first came out. So I grew up with mostly Batman stuff, and that's what I read when I was in college. When I started dating my boyfriend, he grew up with mostly Marvel stuff. And that's when I started, like, reading a lot more Wolverine things. Because Wolverine's super hot. Shut up.
And we're finding a lot out about Corinne right now.
And yes, it's because of Hugh Jackman.
Yeah. Okay, so it's the Hugh Jackman. It's not like the, you know, like...
Well, it started with Hugh Jackman. Okay. And now it's like, oh man, Wolverine's just hot overall, like everywhere. But I love him as a character too. It's not just because he's hot. But.
Right. The, so like, is you sort of moving into like American comics, have you found, like, what did you gravitate to that you like besides Wolverine? It was like, I like that Wolverine was like your Twilight. You're like,
this is, just a reading Weapon X and just crying. Just like, no. Why? Why they treat him like that? Why they make him like do things and then laugh at him as soon as he fall down?
That's not the real you, Logan. Like, I know the real you.
I know the real you, Logan. So it kind of gravitated to like Wolverine and surprisingly, sorry, I have to take this off.
You're good.
I'm all like sweaty and gross. I messed up my wrist a bit. Thankfully, it's not my drawing hand. So I started getting into like Wolverine comics and stuff, and I'm like looking around at my collection right now. And besides Transformers, obviously, besides like getting Transformers comics, because I started becoming friends with a lot of the artists. I actually started gravitating towards more independent titles from American creators and also EC.
Okay.
So it was like seeing Bernie Wrightson's Frankenstein.
Oh, yeah.
Or like Matteo Scalera's fucking Black Science was also amazing. And just like seeing all these artists and getting to like see something that wasn't superhero was awesome, because it's like the only thing I knew for a long time was like, oh, comics are mostly superheroes, right? No, it's not. There's more. So, because I was like, only manga has everything that's not superhero. But no, it's like, here it is. So it was pretty awesome to like find myself over the years, especially the last like 5 or 6 years or so. I'm like learning these things. I'm still learning now, obviously.
Yeah.
But like, you know, going to college and just kind of finding out where I loved these things. And it's like, oh, I loved the DC comics. I loved it when it was like, you know, Darwin Cook and like all these amazing artists. And I was like, this is amazing. What else is there? And I started looking into the EC with like, you know, what's his name? Richard Corman. like Richard Corman, Bernie Wrightson, Wally Wood. And it was so cool to see other things that weren't superheroes. It just kind of blew my mind a bit. So yeah, I guess you're kind of right. There's still this whimsy when it comes to like American comics with me, because I'm like, oh, this is amazing. Like, I've never heard of this. And it's just, and cue all my guy friends and my boyfriend going, oh yeah, that's been around forever. I'm
it's like a little bit of jealousy, because, you know, it's like when you get to, you show someone your favorite movie that they've never seen, you know, where you get to like watch someone experience it for the first time. And you're like, I'm glad you're experiencing this. But also, like, you know, you can only experience it for the first time once. And that magic is kind of gone. But maybe that's just the cynical Catholic in me, because we can't have nice things. We're not allowed to have things that are nice ever.
I grew up Catholic too. And it's former Catholic. I am a former Catholic.
Yeah, aren't they all? So, you know, very few, very few still doing it. Yeah, you guys. That's
a
lot of
nice things, but it's like I do.
Yeah.
I want that Hugh Jackman figure.
it's funny. So like I see you drinking is that Topo Chico there?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So like I love soda water. I drink soda water all the time. But when I go out to a restaurant, they're always like, "Do you want like a lime in or something?" I'm like, "Oh no, no, no!" Like I couldn't possibly impose on you to ask you for a small sliver of citrus in there. I'm just like, "No, no, it's okay. It's fine." You know, I feel bad. That Catholic guilt already in me. Like, don't do it. You don't deserve that. That's a nice thing. So. Yeah.
I have a friend that's Topo Chico has just become like the water that I drink now. The main water that I drink. And my friend always goes, "Everywhere Corinne is, a Topo Chico is not far back." I'm like, fuck you, man.
It's a good way to do it. I actually was drinking so much like soda water for a while that I stopped. I'm like, I should make sure this is okay, you know? And I Googled it, and there was this article that was like, all the reasons soda water is going to kill you. And I'm like, oh, what's this? And then I read it and like, it was like, oh, it might maybe make you your digestion. You get a little burpy, a little gassy. And I'm like, well, that's all right. Okay.
That's it?
Yeah. And like,
no shit. You burp every time you drink it.
Like, that was like the worst thing that would happen. I'm like, oh, so it's good. They're like, otherwise, it's actually pretty hydrating. Great way to drink water. I'm like, oh, perfect. I'm just going to keep doing this then.
I keep from drinking soda. Like, I don't drink coffee either. So it's like, this is the best thing I can have right now.
Yeah, it's just, it's great. It's carbonation. It's the bubbles, the water. It's good hydration. Go for it. What the hell are we talking about for soda? Yeah. this is just a Topo Chico is not a sponsor, but I hope they are after this episode because we just gave you a hell of a plug.
My friends talk with me all the time. They're like, "Someday Topo Chico's going to sponsor you," and I'm like, "Shut up."
Hopefully so. Well, yeah, at least get it for free.
You know, yeah, Topo Chico, call me. I'll make a label for you with sexy ladies on it.
There you go. Which would probably sell well in Mexico.
God, that would be so funny.
That's going to happen. Now, watch it. You put it in the universe now, Corinne. It's going to happen. So I'll tag him in this episode.
I throw out, "One day I'll meet Hugh Jackman in the universe," and I'm still waiting for it. So.
Well, he's a fan of the show. No, I'm kidding.
Don't do that to me.
We'll give him a call after this. Let's see. I don't remember where we were.
We were talking about whimsy and comics.
Yeah, whimsy and comics. Okay. Thank you. I'm glad one of us is paying attention. keeping track of this. What was I going to ask you? Oh, yeah. Like, so how did this lead into kind of, you know, getting into the industry? Like, what was your path of working in, you know, you go to school, you want, like, did you do independent work first? Because, like, for me, my introduction to you was, you know, more recently we talked before the show. In the perception of the public is just kind of like, you're just there and now you're doing so much, which is fantastic. But for you, it's probably like, yeah, I wasn't just there. Like, I've been doing this.
I didn't just appear.
Yeah, we're just like, you were the charm at the bottom of a, you know, Cracker Jack box that someone pulled out. You've been working tirelessly for years, I'm sure. So like, what was that process like for you?
So, like I mentioned before, I graduated SCAD in 2013, and SCAD actually, the last few years, at least while I was there, SCAD actually had the sequential program had a thing called Editor's Day, where they would invite editors from other companies, like some of the publishing companies, DC, Marvel, everybody.
Yeah.
They would come in and review artists' work, the students' work, and some artists actually, you know, sometimes they actually ended up getting projects that way. And for this specific year, Editor's Day fell on the same time as the Mini Comics Expo, which is a thing that a lot of students would do, where they make their own little mini comics and kind of just like allow the public to come in and maybe look at their art or buy their mini comics and all that. It's like a tiny little convention.
Yeah.
And so that year, I just graduated. I'm sitting at the table with my friend, my friend Gina. My friend Gina was sitting next to me. And I had my little mini comic. It was called Brushes. It was just about like a single dad navigating the life of being a single dad of his daughter. And I was heavily influenced by Glenn Keane a lot back in the day.
Okay.
If you don't know who Glenn Keane is, he was mostly the art director of a lot of the golden age of Disney movies.
Okay. Yeah. The name sounds like, familiar. So yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so like the Little Mermaid, the Aladdin, Beauty and the Beast, like sure. A lot of those designs are him.
Okay.
And he's really good at pushing and pulling expressions and figures. And same thing with Bruce Timm. It was like him and Bruce Timm. And it was like, that was like the years I was really trying to focus on getting like proper expressions, because I really loved the emotional side more of comics than like, you know, the action side. I really wanted to get more emotional side. So like you really get that, like that one book that you've read, that one comic that you read that made you cry. Like, you know, that like there's a book out there. There's that one book for everybody that reads comics that like there's that one book that made you cry.
Yeah.
And I was kind of trying to strive for that when I was younger. So that weekend I had Editor's Day and Mini Comics Expo. We had a couple of the editors came down to check out the expo. One of them was Joel from Biz Media, and my very first editor. And he picks up my mini comic, looks through it, and he goes, "How do you feel about drawing boys' action comics?" I was like, "I can do that." I'm 23 years old, just graduated. Literally the weekend before, like or like a couple days ago, I think.
Yeah.
And this editor's like, "Sure, yeah, let's talk. I'll give you my card and I'll email you or you email me." And it just basically like I started doing boys action comics immediately after I graduated.
Wow. Yeah.
Like it was like a slow progression of like working on Ben 10, Hello Kitty. I did Bravest Warriors. And I went from Viz Media to like, I was trying to like push myself around, obviously, and market myself through conventions. But like while I was doing these small projects with Viz Media and also like, you know, working part time at a pet store because I was still very poor.
Yeah.
I saw that Sean Murphy was advertising about doing an apprenticeship. And I had only known his work through DeviantArt back in the day.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I deleted my page. You can never find it. You'll never find it. It's gone. You'll never find it.
You didn't say, did you back any of it up first, or you just, it's gone to the wind?
No, it's gone. Okay. You'll never find it. It's gone forever. I was like, no one's going to see my awful, awful high school art. But yeah, so like Sean was advertising doing the apprenticeship, and I was just like, fuck it. And so like I had made another mini comic by then for Heroes Con that I didn't make any money at, but obviously it was like, oh, the experience, whatever.
Yeah.
But I sent it in. I was like, I got nothing to lose. Here's my mini comic. Whatever. And then, you know, a month or so goes by. Viz Media wants me to go to New York Comic Con that same year. This is all in 2013, by the way.
Wow.
This is all in
Man,
one.
It's a busy
this
year.
All happening in 1 year. And I go to New York Comic Con. I barely have any money under my belt. I'm just like, oh, the big city. Oh my god, what do I do? It's tiny wee little me. And I had actually previously met Sean Murphy at Heroes Con that same year and gave him my mini comic, and he gave me a free copy of Off-Road in return. It was awesome to see. He's like we kind of just chatted, but that's like my first like time meeting him. I was a huge fan of his ink work. That's the only thing I knew about him. I didn't know that he made punk rock Jesus or anything like that. I was like, oh man, his ink work on cars is really awesome. Oh, why is there a line at his table?
Yeah.
Oh, people really like cars. Okay. Hi, welcome. You are here.
Oh, hey.
No, there's a cat.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
Hi. You're going to sit here now. And so that same year I go to New York Comic Con and I had, you know, went up to Sean's table again and I was like, yeah, I applied for your thing. And he was like, yeah, I know. My wife doesn't want me to tell anybody, but I just keep wanting to tell the people that like I picked going, you're in. And I was like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
And so a couple weeks later, after an interview, I got into the apprenticeship and I was like, surprised. I was like, what? Hi, I see you. And I went from Boys Action Comics to the apprenticeship with Sean Murphy. And then as soon as I got done with that apprenticeship, I went to San Diego Comic Con. And yeah, from San Diego Comic Con, I got a job with Oni Press and IDW. And then as soon as the Kickstarter was done for the apprenticeship and we had our book printed, Cafe Racer, I get a call from DC about doing Batmite, and it was just like, bam.
Wow. Yeah.
After that, but it's like the last 10, do you mind? Seriously? Hi, how are you? So this is my life.
That's,
now.
Yeah, I get it. She's like, no, I don't mind. Do you mind? What do you
I don't mind. Yeah, sure. Hi, sweetie. Come here. Sit down. Sit down and enjoy, like, you know, say hi to your fans. You're lovely people.
Hey.
There. So it was like, my style had been like very cartoony, but it was like, it's just basically, I was so young and I was still trying to figure myself out, I guess, like trying to find where I was, like what I wanted to do with my work.
Yeah.
But yeah, I, like from there, I went from Viz Media to the apprenticeship to Oni Press, IDW, DC. I worked with an indie title called the, what is it called? Fuck. Last Zodiac, I think. Yeah. But I went from that, an indie title with Oni, and then Transformers with IDW, which was like,
dream come true.
I made it. Yeah. I made it. I did my thing. I'm a fan and I'm an artist of Transformers. I did my thing.
That's crazy. That's got to be such a surreal feeling.
It was a surreal feeling. Like, I'm 24. I'm like, I'm drawing Transformers and I'm a huge giant robot man. Oh my God. So from that to working with DC on Batmite, and then like over the years, just like picking up a lot of more either indie titles with either IDW and then doing some stuff for Hasbro. And it's just like a matter of like, I've just been all over the place.
Yeah.
I did Ghostbusters with IDW. I did Ghostbusters Answer the Call with all the girl Ghostbusters. I worked with Dark Horse on a book called Calamity Kate. And then I did a book with Burger Books. and I did a book called Girl in the Bay with J.M. DeMatteis.
Oh, wow.
And
yeah.
It was just like, I've been in the industry for so long. It was just a matter of like trying to figure out where. I know I'm like rambling right
no,
now.
No, it's
so
okay.
Sorry.
So no, it's this is great because this is like, this is what I was trying to figure out. Cause I mean, I know you've been around so much longer than like in the current zeitgeist of where you are with this. Like you've been, and it's so interesting to hear like that you've been in this industry for 13 years and that's the type of thing that I love talking about, because it's one of the things where like you've been doing it and you've been a professional and you've been working, but also, you know, it's like, it's one of those weird things, you know, like I've been doing comedy for in some form or fashion for almost 20 years now. And like for a long time, you're like doing it, but you're also like, I don't know what I mean, I'm doing it, but like, is this working? What is happening? You know,
where am I going? What am I doing? It was like literally the last 10 years was just like me figuring out what the hell I wanted to do with my work.
Right.
And it wasn't until, I started working with Volt. Cause like, by the time I started, Volt came forward about doing Shadow Service, I was working on Dark Red with Tim Seeley.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like...
Love Tim Seeley, by the way.
Oh, Tim is great.
Yeah,
Tim's fun.
He's been on the show. He's a nice guy. He was very, very nice. I like his writing, too.
I need to poke at him more and see if he wants to do crossover books with me. I'm like, Tim, you want to draw more boobs? It's going to be fun.
I'm sure he'd love to.
Exchange the boobs.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like I'm working with Burger Books, and working with Karen Berger was an experience. It was pretty awesome. And working with Demetrios was also, he's such a sweetheart. Right. But it's like also at that point realizing I really loved drawing horror stuff. I loved drawing body horror stuff because I think at that point we were still living in Savannah and my boyfriend was playing Bloodborne, which I had never seen before. And if you don't know Bloodborne, oh boy.
I don't, but I'll Google it after the show.
Yeah, it's a video game from a studio called From Software. It is a hard game.
Okay.
But it's got this very Eldritch Lovecraftian kind of look to it, but a lot of body horror. And then he like put on Dead Space, and I was like, oh my god, this is awesome. These games are awesome. And it's like the realization also striking me of, oh my god, my parents didn't let me do a lot of like play a lot of games or watch a lot of shows or read certain books as a kid. So now I'm like, I'm experiencing a lot of this for the first time as an adult. And so I started doing like, you know, body horror illustrations based off of like my mental state or whatever. And it, you know, caught the eye of like for Dark Red. And as I was finishing Dark Red, I actually have to thank my friend Dabari for this. My friend Christian Dabari, he was also a comic artist, and he's amazing. If you ever want to check out his art, he does amazing.
The
amazing
name sounds familiar.
Stuff.
The last name Dabari, yeah. I've seen that name somewhere. So,
and I asked him, like, oh, do you know any places that are taking pictures? He's like, oh yeah, I got a friend that works with Vault Comics, so you can check him out. Send him in. Or he put me in contact with Vault, and Vault's like, hey, you want to work on this? Like, you know, work on your... It was a pitch for another book. It wasn't for Lilith. But, yeah, so I got into Shadow Service, and that's when I realized, like, I really love drawing horror. I really love drawing sexy stuff.
Yeah.
But it was, like, from there, just learning what I wanted to do. It was just like the whole last, like the last 5 years specifically, was me like discovering what I wanted to do with my art.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really inspiring to hear this. You talk about it this way, because like I said, again, you know, analogous to trajectory of my career, in what you just said, it was so spot on. You spend like the first few years just trying to like survive and just do anything you can. And then you get to a point where you're like, okay, I'm a little stable. And then you can start to, that's when the journey really starts of like exploring, I've got a little latitude to kind of do what I want to do, but not really. And what do I like to do? You know, you maybe have a little bit of opportunity to pick and choose more of what you do. Maybe a little more artistic, you know, expression in what you, how you do it, things like that. Don't really put words in your mouth, but that story of like, because I'm such a proponent of like, you just kind of got to put your head down and work really hard for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
And,
yeah.
And like, eventually it will work. And sometimes it may take a decade or more sometimes. And not that, you know, again, you were working, which is great. But you now you're like, to me, we're
at this least, is what I want to do.
Right.
This is the thing for me.
Yeah. And like, probably very much a lot of autonomy as far as what you do. You don't feel probably as much pressure to be like, oh, I got to take this gig, or like scrambling to find a gig. I assume there's probably things coming your way.
I need to pay for bills, do this, and like, I need that paycheck. I need this project to make money, blah, blah, blah. Like that sort of feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it's just really, I love that story, and it's, you know, you really, the way the, you know, just did it, climbed the ranks. So what was it like when you got in, when you were, you know, finally got to the point of like, okay, I'm at a point where I can pitch something I know what I like. How did you just land on Lilith as the thing you wanted to do?
So Lilith actually started out as a doodle. And okay. It was just like, it was in the middle of COVID. We had just moved to Austin. We were kind of stuck indoors. And she wasn't just a doodle. She was also a product of me dealing with my own mental problems, which is I have chronic OCD. And it's not the type of where everything has to be clean. It's like numbers, counting, touching certain objects a certain amount of time. I have magical thinking problems. I overthink, or there's a lot of anxiety tied up in it as well. So,
sure.
And back like 5 or 6 years ago, it made it hard to sleep. Mm. I was losing sleep. So another reason why we moved to Austin was because Austin had a really good OCD treatment program.
Oh,
like they had really good counseling. There's a lot of like opportunity to help here in Austin versus, you know, back in Georgia where there was virtually none, unless you like if you wanted to like drop a lot of money and move to Atlanta. And but because of the fact it was COVID, finding stability and counseling was very difficult. It was either very virtual or virtual, or, you know, had to be like, you know, social distancing. God, that was a weird ass time.
Yeah.
It's like people talk about the, you know, history of bubonic plague and how that was insane. I'm like, Jesus Christ, is this how bubonic plague? Like, what the hell?
Yeah, I think it was worse because we had the internet, so everyone just spun out.
Crashed out really hard.
100%, one way or the other, they went one direction and they went real hard. And it's I'm not sure. It's some people I'm not sure ever corrected that course either, but.
Okay, bye.
Later.
Good talking to you.
Bye, Conan. Bye. And or Popsicle.
Bye,
I'm not sure which one that one.
Bye, Conan.
Okay.
She's like, fuck you, you're not giving me food. I'm like, all right, fine, whatever. But yeah, so like so in the middle of like a early treatment of OCD, there was like learning, you know, the new words and new terms for a lot of things, like having a resource or finding your ground, mm-hmm. being grounded. My boyfriend is also, obviously, as I said before, we met at SCAD. He's also an artist. He tends to watch a lot of YouTube artists, like talk about their process and stuff like that. And he also loves learning about like the history of a lot of artists as well. So one night we were watching TV, like we were just watching YouTube, and he put on a series called Unsung Heroes of Illustration,
mm-hmm.
which I highly recommend. The guy that narrates it has an incredible voice, and you can literally just fall asleep to this guy's voice. It's amazing. But his knowledge of all these artists from, you know, early 1800s to now, it's just incredible.
What's it called again?
And the Unsung Heroes of Illustration.
Okay, sorry, I'm just writing this down.
I highly recommend it. It's an incredible YouTube series. He's still doing it now. I think he's also a professor.
Okay.
But he had covered Growl, and I had a vague recollection of who Growl was, but I didn't remember any of his work. So I was looking at that YouTube video and I was like really just stuck in my head. It was like two inside my head that time with my OCD. And I was like, screw it. Let's try something new today. And I drew this woman clad in red with a red background bleeding in. So it's like that negative space.
Yeah.
And I think she had a severed head in her hand or a knife in her hand. I'm trying to remember some of the first ones. And I put it online not thinking it would do anything. Like, who's going to give a shit? And then I wake up the next morning. I was like, I grossly underestimated this. Oh no. But the whole point of with the OCD was I was feeling grounded while I was working on her. I felt at home.
Yeah,
I felt
yeah.
like there was a resource with her. I always felt so comfortable. I was feeling comfortable with drawing her. I loved it. I loved drawing her. It was like, and seeing the reaction on social media was like a validation to like, oh, I should, maybe I should keep doing this. If she makes me feel better and I have fun drawing her,
yeah,
then also enjoy her. So she kind of just, she started as a doodle and I just kept working on her. And
wow.
One of my friend Sasha, who I have to give a lot of credit to, really helped me put together Lilith's backstory and everything like that. She's the one that really helped out a lot too. She actually named Lilith because I was posting these illustrations for so long, and I go to Sasha and I was like, she needs a name. Like, she's just kind of just the red lady. That's all she is. And Sasha goes, she looks like a Lilith. And it kind of just stuck.
Yeah.
And so we presented it to Lilith, and then it just kind of stuck. And then me and Sasha started like, okay, some context here. I'm going to go into my nerdom for a second.
That's okay. That's what we're here for.
As you know, I'm a Transformers nerd. I am part of a few Discord groups that talk about Transformers. The fandom is large. And as a fan, there has been fan fiction written in the past. and so the way that we kept approaching Lilith was like as if we were writing fan fiction.
Okay.
And it kind of just started sticking to where like, oh, maybe she does this and she likes this. She's got a cat and maybe she's not, like, she's not cis. Maybe she's a lesbian, or maybe she's pan. Who knows?
Yeah.
And it was just like, we just kept adding and adding and adding, and it just, it turned into like, oh, it's like, she doesn't like leftovers, so she leaves it to her cat. She, like, just making up funny scenarios, and me and, like, again, Sasha, I really have to thank her for all this. She really did help, and she still helps now, like, with, like, producing, like, good ideas, because it's like, she makes some of the great, she really is there to help me with Lilith and create her. She's kind of like the other, she's Lilith's other mom.
Yeah.
Like, I'm mom one, she's mom two. And so one day I realized, I was like, Sasha, there's so much we have of Lilith. Like, I've been posting for 2 years now. I've made an art book. I've sold out of it at New York Comic Con 1 year. And then I kind of just went, okay, you know what? Let's just ask my editor at Vault and Adrian Wassel. I went to, because like him and his brother, who was the publisher at Vault, they were like, oh man, we really love this. This is awesome, and they wanted me to do like a tarot deck with them, which is I'm still technically doing, but I've been working on Lilith so long, it's been kind of like pushed over there.
Priorities.
So, and so I messaged Adrian one day and I was like, you know that red lady that I draw? He's like, yeah. I was like, what if I had a story for her? And he goes, I will write you the contract right now.
Wow.
And so when people ask about like, so what was the pitch like? And I'm like, there really wasn't a pitch.
Yeah, yeah.
It was more of like, I have this idea. So it went through like, we went through trial and error putting it together. And then when Adrian was like, yeah, this is ready, we started production, and it's just like, there she is.
Yeah.
That's how it came to be. She was a doodle, and then she grew through two Transformer nerds writing about fan fiction, and ta-da.
There you go. Now you have this, demon adjacent lady, very not Transformers at all, but also so
Transformers. It's just like, here's my nerd stuff, and I know how to write fan fiction.
it's so interesting because, you know, when you write it, as you did, where you were like writing because there's no stakes. You're not writing because you plan on pitching it. You're not writing because you got to make sure the editor loves it. You're just writing from your heart and what's fun. Like, so in, I got to say, as someone who read the series and loved it, like that very much comes through because it seems so genuine and like fun. So I'll to be completely candid, this is how I found it. I saw it at my local comic book store, and it was the Jay Lee cover, and I'm a huge Jay Lee fan, so I was I've loved him since he drew like this. He was part of this crossover of X-Men back in the early 90s, and I loved his art ever since then.
I gotta find that now.
it's the Executioner's Song crossover. He did the X-Factor issues. It's like 84, okay. 85, 86, something like that. But, and I was like, huh. And I just looked at it, and I kind of was like, I don't know if this is like my genre, my speed, like, I don't know. And then I walked away, and then I started hearing people talking about this book, and I'm like, I got to go back and check out this book. And then I bought it. They didn't end up having the Jay Lee cover, so I got one of your covers, and I was like, oh my God. I go, this thing is like, it just sees with fun. And like you can tell there's like this genuine love of the story, and I think maybe it's a testament to how you created it, where you were just like, no, I'm just writing what I love and having fun.
Yeah. And it's literally what it is, because I'm just writing how I write fan fiction, essentially. It's like, I'm writing this thing that I love. Here you go. Yeah. It's just like, let's have fun with this.
But it worked. It worked so well. And I think that's like, it just speaks to how, you know, if you just write from your heart and create what's genuine and what you actually love, it's so magnetic, you know, like people will connect to it because it's genuine, instead of something that's like contrived and pieced together because it fits in the algorithm of what's popular or whatever, you know. And I love hearing the backstory on that, because it really kind of makes the whole thing more vibrant for me, because it, those things, the way you create it, really does show up in the whole fabric of the book. So
yeah, thank you. I'm so glad that people can see that. And because it's like, for a while I was like really nervous. I was like, oh, what if people don't like it? And it just took like my boyfriend and Sasha just going like, well, you know, put it out there. What's the worst that can happen? People don't like it. And it's like, yeah, true. Let's just see what happens. And it's just like, because there was a point in the writing process where at first I was writing the story as like kind of dour and dark. Mm-hmm. And I'm just sitting here and I'm just like, it's like I'm sinking into my chair going, this is so boring. And I'm like, this is not working at all. And so I was like, screw this. Let's just start writing this shit like for fun. Like, let's do it like the way I want to do it, or let's just have fun. Let's just do it. Let's just see what fucking happens. And it's a lot of it, not gonna lie, a lot of it was me saying, fuck it. Just like, just that's the ongoing line.
It's a great motto in life in general, in my opinion, so.
Yeah, and it's just like, it's like that with a lot of the covers that I've done with like the cross promotion between Money Shot and Lilith. It's like ideas that were like, I'm not quite sure about this. And then I'd be like, fuck it.
Yeah,
blobfish aliens, that's what you're getting today. And it's like, that's what's on the Lilith cover. And it literally was just like, I can't force anything with her. I have to like just let things flow on their own.
Yeah,
you know, like have fun with it.
Well, it's something about, it's one of the things I've talked about in writing a lot, because I've written in a lot of different mediums, and I'm always like, if something is like in you and it's really something, a story you should be telling, like at a certain point it almost feels like it's writing itself. Does that make sense? You know, like you're almost like, I'm not writing this, like some, like this is, it's like, it's that muse or whatever, like something is putting it in me, this character is inside of me speaking through me, like I'm possessed right now, you know.
Yeah, and it's just like, it's taking a lot of elements of things that I love as well. It's like, I love manga and I love Transformers. Obviously, there's not Transformers in it. But taking a lot of my manga influence and horror influence and taking that Lovecraftian body horror stuff and breaking the idea of, because I do have a bone to pick. It's like my little thing where I'm like, I'm sick and tired of the devil and God thing. I'm so tired of that narrative.
Yeah.
It's Catholic, overdone, I get it. All the time. Yeah, it's like my Catholic side of it. It's like, it's my little rebellious Catholic girl in me. It's just like, fuck you. It's just like, the narrative between God and the devil is done so many times, and I'm tired of it. It's like my reaction to seeing a sequel pop up. It's like, oh, we have no more independent ideas, but sure, let's make another fucking sequel.
Yeah, we need an 11th Fast and Furious.
A sixth Jurassic Park movie. Jurassic World.
Yes.
I'm separating the two. Jurassic Park has nothing to do with Jurassic World.
If only they did have nothing to do with each other. My God.
That fourth one was horrible.
The last one that came out? With Scarlett Johansson?
The one where it's ScarJo in it.
Oh my God, it was so bad. It was so bad.
The only thing that was good about that movie was the fat T-Rex that I really loved. And I was like, oh my God, he's so fat. I love how fat he is. He's so fat. He's like swimming in the river. I'm like, this is my fat T-Rex friend. The only reason why I loved that, I was like, the only thing I loved in that movie was the fat T-Rex. And I was like, yes. it's like every time I see that same God versus the devil narrative, I'm like, okay, you're doing this again. It's the same shit. What are you gonna do with it? There's nothing. Literally, it's like you can only go so far between God and the devil. There's, because you're having to work from a specific line of text and reference,
right?
Which is the Bible and any theology studies out there about it. Any lost book that was taken out of the Bible before it was actually printed, or like things to like there's so many things that like it's very finite, it's very specific thing that people work from when it's God versus the devil. So I was so tired of that. I've seen it so many times in horror movies.
Yeah.
It's overdone, and I was like, screw this. I want to do my own thing. I want to create my own world. And it's kind of like Full Metal Alchemist, where you know that this world does not take place in ours. It has its own gods and its own scientific studies and law. And so I was like, I don't want this to be between God and the devil. Just because her name is Lilith doesn't mean she has any relation to, you know, Adam's first wife or whatever.
Yeah.
It's just, oh, her name is Lilith. Just so. It's like, I'm not related to this. I'm not this. I'm not a devil. I'm not the blah, blah, blah. It's like, it's the idea of finding out that there's more than just this one little box.
Right.
A belief that really just like, you know, there's more out there than just this. There's endless possibilities of universes out there, of creatures and things and gods, and that's what I love. I want expansion. Just like, that's what I want. And so I couldn't do the God versus the devil narrative. It was just not working. And it's just like, here we go, fuck it, let's go, let's just do this. It's literally the line, fuck it. It keeps reoccurring every day.
Hey, as long as it worked for you. So
sorry, I went on that like giant rant about narrative.
No, it's okay.
So, like,
we got if you're very passionate about it. I love you. It's true though. You know, you gotta find the narrative that speaks to you and find the way it to present it, and also in a unique way that's not something that's been fucked out a million times. You know.
Oh, it's like, you're gonna beat that dead horse. The horse is already dead. It's zombified, but it's dead again. Yeah. So you're gonna keep beating it and. The guts are going to fly everywhere, and oh, look, you keep beating it. Oh, look, we have another Captain America movie coming out. We have another Iron Man movie coming out. We have another this. Yeah. There's a new Twisters movie. Just the undead horde is dead again.
Oh, yeah, they did make a new Twister. Yeah, they really just brush off anything. They're like, huh? You remember this thing? Is this a title you remember?
it's like the member berries from South Park. Remember? I remember. It's just so...
Yep. Yeah. I mean, anyway. they just need, yeah, brand recognition. At what point were you like, did you realize that? Because I assume, like, again, we talked about you've been kicking around the industry for 13 years working. But like, I assume this was kind of the thing that pushed you to another tier. When did you realize that feel that shift? How has it changed for you?
Honestly, I have just recently felt the shift.
Really?
Like, it was New York Comic Con. Mm. Was that shift. It's like, I've been around the block enough online. I've been on Tumblr. I've been on all these other social media sites. I've seen artists that get big. And it's like, oh, you have to stay relevant with the amount of followers you have and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, oh, and then you get into the industry and you see all these artists working with big name writers and big name companies. And it's like, oh, you got to stay relevant. You got to work with these people. You got to work with that. Or you're like a one in a million shot, like Mike Mignola or Mark Millar. It's just so like, yes, I know. Isn't it the same? And so... I know she's crying. Why are you crying at me? Bloop. So it was like that. Like, as I was working on Lilith, I was not sure it was going to go anywhere. I was just drawing her because I loved drawing her. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to keep doing it because I love it. And, you know, people want an art book. I made an art book. I made stickers. I made prints. Here you go. And so I was not sure if it was going to be popular or not. I'm still unsure of how popular it is sometimes, because it's like, I only know within this certain circle of things. I don't know how vast it reaches, if it is reaching that, you know, expansion. So I try to keep myself really kind of like stay a little bit, I guess you can say humble, but it's like, don't put the cart before the horse, as my boyfriend would say. So it's just like, I did not expect it, or I did not think I would reach a new level as I did in New York this year. And it was the moment of coming to New York Comic Con when my friend Kennedy was helping me this year. It was a matter of like realizing like I have to leave my table to get commissions done. I never used to do this. I have to do this. And then as soon as I was like working on something, I would get a text message like, hey, you need to come back to the table. I was like, why, is everything okay? She's like, yeah, no, there's just a lot of people wanting your signature. And I was like, what? So it's just like being in the industry for so long, I was like, you know, you're trying everything. You're also trying to keep your head above water, to keep money in your pocket so you can pay bills, keep a roof over your head. It's really difficult. It's a fun industry. Don't get me wrong. I love this industry. I love working in comics, but it's also very difficult. You have to really make a lot of sacrifices and do a lot of the hard work. You have to stay up late. You have to, in those early years too, you have to stay up late. You have to work those long hours. You have to take that project that probably isn't all that fun or interesting to you, but you know what? Use it as an exercise. Yeah. Use it as a way to teach yourself to draw in a new style or use a new brush or whatever. And all those years, I was like, maybe this is going to help me move forward. Maybe this is going to make me move forward. And I finally reached that point. Literally, as soon as we moved to Austin, when I was like, fuck this, I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
I like, I'm going to keep working in this industry and do what I love. I love drawing comics. I love drawing. Here I go. And it was until where I was a lot of, again, the ongoing theme of fuck it keeps the is the thing that is just apparently pushing there, saying fuck it and doing it. And so for years it felt like I was on an escalator, just like, you know, continuously walking up and down the stairs, walking up the stairs, but it just doesn't
the
go
same
anywhere.
Spot. Yeah.
And it wasn't until New York that I saw people constantly coming by, wanting autographs, talking to me about the book, going to like the after parties or going to business dinners, and I'm like, I'm just sitting there going like, what? You want to talk to me? And it's just like, I don't expect it.
Yeah.
All the time I'm like that. I'm like, why? And so it's just like, it still surprises me.
Yeah.
Now I feel like it's never going to stop surprising me, because it's like that Catholic, I guess it's also, again, the Catholic guilt.
Yeah. Nothing.
Like,
yeah.
I don't believe I deserve this. I can't have nice things, but it's like, here I am, apparently. But it's like, so yeah, this past year in New York, we did so well, socially, financially, marketing wise, to getting things out there, talking to so many people. It was so exciting. And, really the thing I valued the most was the amount of people that I was connecting with. And I was really excited to meet Marvel editors that I've just known through emails, or like meeting the head of DC to like show him my pages, and then like, you know, going out with my friends and, you know, going to these business dinners. It was exciting. And it's like, as soon as I got back from New York, it's like, I finally reached the end of the escalator.
Yeah.
And it's like, here's this book in my hand. My book, the book I made. I made this book. Holy shit. This is mine. So yeah, I think that like that realization didn't hit until literally back in New York Comic Con, like this year.
Wow.
Going to San Antonio, because as I said before, being like Sean's student before, and now him and I hang out all the time. And so every time we're at shows together, we're always tabling next to each other.
Yeah.
We're always going to dinners or getting drunk together somewhere, probably stealing. There was a time where he stole a case of Topo Chico at Dallas Fan Expo, and we're like, what are you doing? We were drunk, and he just comes out like, guys, this is what I found. And it's just like,
sometimes you need
literally
it.
Literally, he's like my big brother. And so he went from my teacher to my big brother. And so I was so used to just seeing him having all these lines at his table. And it was like, oh, maybe someday I'll have a line. Who knows?
Yeah.
But just like in New York, there was kind of like, you know, groups of people that would come by. But then I went to, going to San Antonio, I was like, there's a line.
Yeah.
Is that normal? wait, there's a line? There's a line. And it's like me just looking at this going, there's a line at my table. And it's just like that moment, I'm like, that's a line. It's a line for me.
Yeah,
and I'm like, I'm just so confused. It's really weird.
Yeah.
I guess it's that whimsy feeling, I guess you could say.
That's one of the things like we talked about before we got on. It's like it was so surprising when I saw that post of yours like that. You just said, you know, there's a line. It's the first time. And I'm like thinking, God, really? And then it's like it is one of those things where, you know, you've been doing it for so long. And then you've, like you said, you got to the top of that escalator. And now you have lines. And I mean, it's well deserved. You've done a lot of work. You wrote something, created something you love. That shines through in that project. So, yeah, I mean, you did it. You did the time, you did the work. And I mean, I think you should be, despite the Catholic guilt and everything, I think you should accept that you did it and you're there.
Yeah, it's a really crazy feeling, and it's like I don't want to take it for granted. I guess that's the other point of it. Like you never take that feeling for granted, because it's like this industry, like any entertainment industry, just goes up and down so quickly. Things can just disappear.
Oh yeah,
and so like things dry up so quickly. It's like the one hit wonders of music.
Yeah.
Like you have that one song that hit and you're like, well, what happened to that band? They just disappeared, I guess. So yeah, I don't want to take it for granted ever.
Yeah. Well, that's a good way to look at it. I'm very humble. That's a great way to approach it. And that's probably a recipe for, you know, long-term success, honestly. So what is next for you? What do you want to do? Do you have like a, follow-up to Lilith? Do you want to do more of that? Do you want to do something else completely?
I am doing more Lilith. I started writing this week, or last week technically, but that is dated for release for 2026, I think later in 2026. But for the moment, I'm actually working on a book with Sean Murphy.
Okay.
It's like a 4-issue miniseries, and it's just kind of like, here's my little break before I pick up my girl from summer camp and then we get back to school. Like that sort of feeling. That's kind of like where I'm at right now. It's like, time for a break. The kids are at summer camp. Now I can just work on the hard work, and now we can go back to school after we get back. And that's kind of like where I'm at right now. But yeah, we're working on this one little this one series, and then I get back to drawing Lilith, but I'm also writing in between working too. So, but I'm also doing a lot of covers and independent illustrations. I'm also in the process of building some new things. Possibly new merch. There's going to be some surprises coming up in the next couple of months. I already have my convention schedule for next year, which is insane. I love it. It's like my friend's like, oh yeah, it's going to be crazy next year. And I was like, what? What do you mean? He's like, oh, here you go. And I was just like, here's the list.
Oh,
granted,
yeah.
We just got done with New York.
Can we?
The day that New York ended, he's like, oh, by the way, here's the list. And I was like, dude,
yeah, it's like back at it. It just keeps on rolling, doesn't stop.
And so my first show next year is January 9th at New Orleans Fan Expo, and then I'll be doing Denver Comic Con or Denver Fan Expo. I've been trying to remember which one's which, but I am also doing MegaCon Orlando as well.
Okay.
So but there's gonna be some surprises coming up within next few months as well, so I can't, my assistant said I can't say anything.
That's okay. We won't make you, I'll pry it out of you off air. No, I'm kidding. I mean, that's exciting. So obviously besides Lilith, is there like long-term plans to keep working on Lilith? You want to create other things too, but I mean, is this something you want to make I don't even want to say an ongoing, but at least a series of mini series or...
Yeah, I do want to make it a long series. I do have a plan. There is an ending. I have an ending.
Okay. Like, okay.
The ending is set in stone. I have that ending plan. It's just a matter of like, I'm going to be filling this out in the long journey to get there.
How much fun is like get there?
This is my manga. This is like,
love it.
Here's my, I don't want to be like Dragon Ball or One Piece, for God's sakes. No, not like 1,000 volumes. But this is like, here's my Full Metal Alchemist manga. Like, this is the manga that I'm working on. I have my beginning and I have my ending. Now to fill it out with this wonderful journey.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at.
Nice. And is there any fielding offers from people who want you to do things that you're unable to do or don't want to do? Or like, is there you being like, hey, Kirkman, I'd love to do a Transformers cover again, or anything like that?
It's funny you mentioned that, because not Transformers related, but kind of related to my childhood of cartoon love. I do get a lot of people asking for covers and seeing if I'm available for like series or whatever. It's like, I'm not available for series. I don't have a lot of time on my hands right now. So it's covers, guys. But Recently, I don't know if you ever, if you saw it or not, but there was a Kickstarter for SWAT Cats.
Oh yeah.
So I remember telling Sean, and I know the guy that runs the production company that was producing that Kickstarter. I know Rotatelli. And so it's like, oh my God, I watched this show a shit ton when I was a little kid. I loved this show when I was a little kid. And like trying to find this cartoon as a child on Cartoon Network was like finding a needle in a haystack. You're like, it's airing now. It's airing this. And it's like, it was like a fight, like a search, like a huge journey to like find this cartoon airing anywhere. So to see SWAT Cats come back in comic form, and then me going like I literally just commented on one of their posts going, dude, I'm a huge fan. I've been a fan since I was a kid. I wish I could do a cover. God damn it. And then I get a message from Kevin like literally that day. Like, hey, you want to do a cover? And I was like, yes.
Yeah, who's going to tell you no? Who's going to be like, yeah, sorry, Corinne. Even though I know you want to, no.
Let me draw my fucking... it's just so, like, it was a moment of, like, I've been a fan of this cartoon for years.
Yeah.
And I'm finally drawing something with it. I was like, what is happening?
Yeah, what is life right now? That's fantastic.
It was really awesome. And I have the cover original now. And so it's like, it was really cool to see that. Like, they're going to make, apparently, my cover's going to be a t-shirt there. I thought that was awesome.
Damn,
so.
Look at you. SWAT Cats t-shirt. Who would have ever thought? Young Corinne in Gainesville, Florida, that she growing up getting rejected from the comic book store, that she would have been like, yeah, well, you're going to be wearing my SWAT Cats t-shirt.
just me like throwing it up like, yeah. Fuck you guys, man.
Well, you know, fuck it
now, that's, assholes.
Yeah, that's what you said. That's how, that's this, that's what pushes the narrative. Fuck it. So that's right on. That's great. Well, Corinne, I appreciate your time. I don't want to keep you all day. I'm sure you got other things to do. I talk your ear off all day, but I want to let you go so you can go enjoy your whatever day. It's Monday.
It's Monday. Thank you for enduring my ramblings of whatever. I know I probably talk a little too much.
No, my God. It's fantastic. I love it. I appreciate your time, and no, talk as much as you want. It's been a lot of fun. It's also fun when I don't have to like pull stuff out of guests either, when they're willing to talk. So it's nice to have someone who's actually excited and has things to say.
I love sharing a lot of this stuff, because there's like, there's so many people out there that just like, they don't know where to start, what to do, like where they're at. It's difficult, and I completely understand how that feels. And it's like, it's okay to ask me. It's not bad things. It's not bad to ask questions. Ask questions. 100%. Question everything.
Yeah, that is a good motto in life. Question everything.
Except don't question whether we're in the Matrix or not. That could be a problem.
No. Oh, yeah. Well, I think we might be. I don't question it. I just believe we are.
We're in a simulation.
Listen, goddammit, I know it wasn't Berenstein Bears, all right? I fucking know that shit. It was Berenstein Bears, you know? So, yeah. Anyway, that's a rabbit. That's a whole other podcast. Well, Corinne, tell everyone where they can find you, any upcoming projects, how to follow you, support you, all that stuff. I mean, we'll put stuff in the links. I'm sure people know you're out, you're everywhere, but just in case.
Hi guys. I am on Instagram. I am on Twitter. I refuse to call it X because it sounds like a porn site. I'm
kind
on
of
Blue
is
Sky. I'm semi-active on Tumblr every now and then, but you can find me on Instagram and Twitter and Blue Sky. It's at Rin237. I know it doesn't sound like very well put together. It was just something that they generated on Twitter, and I was like, I guess that works.
Perfect.
But yeah, it's at Rin237, or you can just type my name into the, you know, search engine. But yeah, I'm on Instagram, I'm on Twitter, I'm on Blue Sky. But yeah, and I'm currently building We're building some new stuff on the website, so there's going to be some new stuff coming up. So can't quite put that up yet, but I will be announcing more stuff soon. And the title for the next book I'm working with Sean Murphy is called Lake Totem. Okay. And it's a little monster story, kind of based off of both of our childhoods, kind of like put together. So we'll see more of that. I'll be sharing more of that as it comes in the next few months. Right. And also when Sean tells me it's okay to show things.
And where's that coming out?
Yeah,
is that, who's that coming from? Where's that coming?
We don't know yet.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it'll be out. But somewhere.
I mean, at least I don't know yet.
Okay.
He might know things. I don't know things. But
it's all right. We'll follow and find out.
But also, keep on the lookout. I will be posting more Lilith things. There will be more illustrations. There are more illustrations in the work now. And I am currently working on the next arc. So, yeah, keep an eye out for in 2026 for all this stuff coming your way.
Awesome. Fantastic. Yeah. Guys, if you haven't read Lilith, you need to do it. The trade paperback is coming. I don't think it's come out yet, but it's coming very soon.
It's come out, yeah.
It did come out. Okay. So go. You can get the individual issues, or if you can't find them, get the trade paperback. It's a lot of fun. Follow Corinne. She's a great artist, a great creator, and does all kinds of stuff, and sounds like she's got a ton coming up. So... cool. We are going to get out of here for today, guys. Again, go to deescomedy.com. Check out everything going on across the network. Live shows. We got a couple more for the end of the year. Again, I'll be at Riot Comedy Club in San Antonio Thursday, Friday, and Chubby's Ice House on Saturday in Pipe Creek, Texas. And again, next week, the 17th, Kill Sand number 3 will be available. Hard copies will be going out. Or if you need some, hit me up. You can go to the shop on the website and grab them too. Or, you know, find me. I'm around. So that's it, guys, for the Social Hour. I've been Dees. And for Corinne, thank you very much, everyone. And we will see you all next week.